7:03, time to save money at the pump. Text Dave to 83835 now. Text it now. 83835. Text Dave. Save a quarter a gallon on your second fill up. Stack those rewards and save even more at participating Shell gas locations. A lot of stuff to get to. Scott Barrett, 7:30. We'll talk more about the Raiders situation that we're going to talk about in a couple seconds. Michael Duarte from NBC LA, sports reporter down there, to talk about all this weird genie, Jimmy, Johnny, Jerry Buss. Well, obviously not Jerry Buss, but you get what my point, the coup and all this garbage going on there. Couple of things. Haven't said this in a long time. Want to say it. We try in this business not to be surrounded by numbers. You just come in, you do your show and all that, but I got some numbers thrown in front of me.
Numbers, yeah.
Yes, exactly. I run from those things. Just do the job, come in, do what you got to do. I got some numbers thrown into me yesterday from the bosses. I don't say this enough, so don't snark at me, the two of you, but thank you. Thank you guys for listening. You have a lot of You have a lot of alternatives for your morning entertainment. We completely recognize that. Podcasts, other radio stations, your iPod, or just silence. And you guys are listening to us. And in this business, I think a lot of times the relationship with the listener gets taken for granted. I've never, and I know nobody on the show ever takes that for granted. We don't always hit it out of the park every day. Nobody does. But you come in, you try to entertain and inform people. And judging by your response, especially lately, we're starting to really connect. So thank you. Thank you. We really do appreciate each and every day that you guys tune into us. And we hope you continue to do so. Thank you.
You just made me uncomfortable, Dave.
I know. Well, you know, listen, I'll be that guy. Yeah, shut up, Dave. Do the show. But, you know, I think we all appreciate.
No, it's awesome. And I love when people come up because I see a lot of people at the Kings games because where I sit, you know, and a lot of people walking back and forth to the clubs. And it's great when people stop and talk to you and say, hey, I enjoy your show. It's like, oh, really? Us? You listen to us? That's awesome.
See, well, yes. And I also do also act surprised. Like usually someone will say, hey, I'm a listener and I'll apologize.
I know.
But now you just made me feel uncomfortable, Katie. Okay, we got to move on.
All
jeez.
Right.
The Oakland Raiders told the NFL yesterday they have found a new partner to finance their proposed stadium in Las Vegas, Bank of America, a person familiar. This according to the New York Daily News.
BOFA.
Mm-hmm. BOFA. What is BOFA? Please, people, ask what BOFA is. It's always a fun joke. It's like, did you talk to Joe? I got somebody on a Joe Mama joke yesterday. I still do it. Like,
wow, really?
We're planning a trip somewhere. I said, did you talk to Joe about the hotel reservations? Guy's like, Joe who? Joe Mama!
Oh, wow.
You're horrible.
So ask about both.
Nice.
Person familiar with the Raiders' plans said the team presented the new proposal with financing backed by B of A to the stadium, to the NFL stadium and finance committees. They had been seeking a new partner, the Raiders had, for the proposed $1.9 billion, 65,000-seat dome stadium after Sheldon Adelson withdrew his $650 million. Nevada has committed $750 million. The Raiders and the NFL would pay the remaining $500 million. They need three-quarters of the league's owners to approve, and that approval could come as soon as the last week of this month at the NFL meetings in Phoenix.
We'll
say
be
that
there.
As a reminder, exactly. We will be down there for spring training coverage, and we're going to double up. We'll also be at the NFL meetings all the way through Wednesday of that week when they wrap up. And if there is a decision made either way, we'll have full coverage. Oakland's Mayor Libby Schaaf is trying her best, whether she's legitimately trying to keep the Raiders or many people think she's just putting on a political show. She made a presentation to the committees also hoping to persuade the owners to keep the Raiders from moving. The problem there is they're leaking out, whether they're true or not, reports that the NFL has serious worries about the third-party involvement from Fortress. They have serious worries about what happens with the land and that it's the same proposal proposed years ago that the NFL poked a bunch of holes in. So there you go. If it's approved, guys, the stadium will not be built before 2020. The Raiders have options to play at the Oakland Coliseum for two more years, but could need to find a temporary home in 2019 if they move. It just continues to be a strange saga for the Oakland Raiders, but they found financing, allegedly. Let's see how that works, but that's a big move for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, I think they're headed to Vegas, man. I mean, that just...
I don't know.
It is a coin flip, man. Oakland is such a bigger market than Las Vegas. I know they're worried about putting an NFL team in Vegas, but I think one thing that may have broken the camel's back with the old straw thing, the fact that hockey is in Las Vegas now, I think that's going to end up helping. I think it's going to end up helping that the NFL would not be the first major league franchise to move to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I think that might help them out.
Well, of all of the major sports, the NFL probably really cares the least about the size of the market.
Sure.
It definitely is the sport in which it matters the least. So, and honestly, size of the market, like, is that going to make that much of a difference when you've got the visibility of a team being in Vegas? That in itself is an attraction. You don't get that in Oakland.
Well, here's where I'm having a hard time with this, because I don't know that Libby Schaff is actually legitimately concerned about whether or not the Raiders stay.
Right.
And I know that they've had, you know, obviously the Ronnie Lott group, and there's people that want them to stay, obviously. But it goes back, what was it, a month or two ago, you guys, where she was talking about something in terms of the Coliseum and building a new stadium. She's like, our primary concern right now are the Oakland A's.
Yes.
Like, okay, well, that tells you all you need to know. But then she goes on, you know, and to say recently, like, hey, we've presented a plan. It's economically sound. But the question is it a good thing? Do you think it's a good thing, or it's a benefit in this situation to be promoting a mixed venue, you know, a mixed sport venue? Because isn't that kind of going out? Like, that's not something that's appealing anymore for a lot of teams and franchises.
I think they have to. I think Vegas is going to have to. They're all of a sudden going to. They're seriously, like, if this stadium gets built, I want to say it's either the fourth or fifth arena/stadium that will have been built in the NFL over a 10-year period. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about by 2020. You've got T-Mobile Arena. You have another arena that just got built down there. You have another one, I think, that's being built down there. There's all kinds of new stuff going down there. And I know one of the appeals people say the NFL being in Las Vegas is that they'll have a Super Bowl. And I'm telling you, I don't think that a Super Bowl in Vegas is necessarily a good idea. And I'll just go back to the NBA All-Star game in Las Vegas, which was an absolute disaster. And I think that's a real worry that people don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about it because of there can be some pretty frightening connotations underneath the language. But let's just be frank. Is it a good idea to have NFL players living full-time in Las Vegas? And not just the gambling. Talking about all the different ways you can get in trouble. And, yeah, you can get in trouble in any other city. But Las Vegas seems to attract trouble. There's so much stuff going on there.
Trying to protect the players?
Trying to protect the shield, more to the point, not the players. Yeah. Players are going to play.
And I think that's like, you are not genuinely making that argument.
No. I'm saying that is something that's out there that I think.
I think that's something bogus that the owners would put forth.
You don't see an increased, you do not see an increased chance of illegal activity from NFL players, just statistically. Forget the political aspects.
No.
If you have I disagree with you. I absolutely disagree with you. I think if you put a football team in Las Vegas full time,
all these things they could get busted for are legal in Vegas.
Huh?
What is it you're worried about them getting busted for?
What happens if an NFL player develops a relationship, whether on the surface or beneath the surface, with a casino? It's right across the street.
I don't see how it would be any different.
What happens when we start seeing football players and escorts being more? What happens?
Look what happened to OJ. Vegas is a dangerous place.
Well, there you go. She closed the deal right there. More to talk about there. We'll take a break. When we get back, we'll tell you about Vince Young's new job. We'll tell you about Tom Brady's new business. And, hey, the Cardinals and Pirates are going to play Sunday night baseball at a pretty damned cool venue. We'll get all that next. 3 minutes from now on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Scott Baer will join us at 7:30, 10 minutes from now, talk a little bit more about the Raiders situation down in Vegas and this new financing they have from Bank of America. Michael, what'd I say, 7:30, 7:40, I'm sorry. Michael Duarte, NBC LA Sports reporter, about the Lakers and Jeannie Buss and her brothers trying to perform a coup and all the weird stuff going on down there. Also, listen to the show, Sammy Hagar tickets coming up at Lake Tahoe. We're going to help you plan your summer. Right now, though, Vince Young has announced the formation of Vince Young Realty, a real estate brokerage based in Austin, Texas. Buy a house from Vince.
There you go.
Well, he's good for life then. No, I mean, honestly, like this, it would be easy to make fun of this. Vince Young with a real estate agency in Austin. Texas.
Yeah.
Watch the money roll in.
If they play it where, like, if you buy a house, he'll show it to you.
Seriously.
Like, how many people are going to go look at houses just to meet Vince Young?
This dude is set now. Good for Vince.
Like, close the deal and you get a signed football from Vince Young.
That's amazing. Man, I remember when he first got recruited to Texas because my uncle was living in Austin at the time. And I remember him telling me, this kid that they got, and it's not like he was like a big UT fan, just living in Austin.
Sure.
You hear this stuff, it's like, this guy, he's going to be bigger than Michael Vick, man. Like, they recruited the next Michael Vick, only he's bigger and he's faster. And he's just like, yeah, we'll see. Well,
he did what Vic couldn't do at Virginia Tech. Vic ran into that Florida State team. They were in the national championship game, but he got close. He couldn't get over the top. That Vince Young Texas USC game when Reggie Bush was a human Madden highlight reel.
Unbelievable game.
Obviously Clemson, Alabama, everyone looks at that recent history, and that was a phenomenal game. But that Texas, USC was supposed to destroy Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say Vince Young single-handedly led. He didn't. That was a team effort. But damn, Vince Young was unstoppable. Yeah,
and just the flat-out star power in that game. I mean, just strictly as a college player, tough to top what that guy did.
Katie, you are somebody that people look to for health and diet advice. You take
really?
Very good care of yourself.
I feel like you're trying to make a transition and you just absolutely failed. What's going on with it?
Well, New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
Oh, okay.
Why did I say New England Patriot? That's so stupid.
To specify that it wasn't the rugby player.
Right, or the shortstop for the Tigers. Tom Brady is entering the meal kit delivery space, bringing...
Oh, Lord.
Damn right. Get that penetration in the market, Tom.
Mm. It's
he
called
just said penetration.
It's called Purple Carrot.
You're serious? I should have saved that joke for like two more seconds.
The TB12 performance meals are designed for anyone who's looking to achieve or sustain their own peak performance. That really does sound like a porn. It really does sound like a porn
watch
title.
Watch it be like something like his daughter named it or something, and you're going to feel like an ass.
I know, right. By the way, not for nothing, ADD time here, I've had purple carrots. They're actually quite good.
They're really, really good.
They're just fine.
Right on.
But they have that stigma of like, oh, like you're all organic and did it, you know.
Whatever.
So yeah, there's where you get your purple carrot from,
Get a bunch
Tom.
Of rainbow carrots. I'm telling you, you can get them in the organic section.
They don't taste any different than
don't.
The normal carrots.
They're great. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what turns people off to him is the mess you got to clean up afterwards.
From the purple carrot?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I'm
going to
roll over that one.
Yeah, let's go.
You know, another underrated vegetable? Beets. Honestly, beets are so underrated. I'm not talking about the dumb
purple.
Well, I bet Tom has beets in his purple carrot delivery meal
by
pack.
Dre?
Hey, listen, not
yeah,
beets.
By Dre.
Not those beats. I'm talking about beets. I'm not talking about the dumb pickled red kind that you get in a can. That's not
the
beets.
Band from
I
the
like
show,
the,
Doug.
No.
I like all the different colored beets, too. Kind of
they
like
have,
the carrots,
they have
you know?
Golden beets and purple beets and red beets. And I'm telling you, you get some beets and you throw them in a pot and you boil them, okay? And then when they cool off enough, you thumb off the skin and you chop them up with some salt and pepper.
Attaboy.
Do it with some burrata and arugula and salt
burrata?
And pepper. Burrata cheese?
Oh, okay. Well,
you've had it at my house.
Now.
You love it.
Nate, when was the last time you had an actual fresh beet?
I can't even think of probably never.
Matt George.
You had parsnips the other day. Have you not had a beet?
I have never thumbed the skin off of a vegetable.
Let me tell you something. It's a blast. You run the beet under some cold water. Matt, when was the last time you had a fresh beet?
In a salad, maybe?
I'm not talking about
on Caesar salads.
Fresh beet.
Fresh beet. And in a salad, you're getting those pickled, the
not
circle
always.
Ones. Most
not
of
always.
The time. You know what? I'm going to make some beets this week at home because you can also eat them cold, although I think warm beets are fantastic.
They're really good in smoothies, too. You know the smoothies I bring into the
okay,
state?
You're losing me now.
Yeah.
I'm going to dice up
sports
some...
Sports radio personality goes home, makes beets over the weekend, comes back and insists everyone calls him Boondock.
Jesus.
Nate.
From the 209, what's the difference between pink and purple? The grip.
No.
So Tom Brady performance meals. Whether don't read anything into that. What, Matt?
We just got canceled.
Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. You've been phenomenal. Take it easy. Hey, but 1st of April is coming up. We should all relax on that.
Oh, my goodness.
Whether that's in the gym, on the field, or at work, Tom Brady told CNBC in an email, we want to inspire everyone, not just the athletes, to be their best. And I think these meals will be a big step in that direction. Now, Nate, you should know this. Brady's meals are gluten-free, higher in protein and lower in refined sugar than Purple Carrot's core line of meal kit products. Each week, customers will receive three meals for two people for just $78, which is about $13 a meal.
That's $20 more than I pay for my current meal system.
While the average,
hold on a second.
Yeah. Okay.
What was it?
What?
$13 a meal.
About thirteen bucks a meal.
I was trying to do the math.
Average meal kit costs between $8 and $12 a meal. But it says folks interested in Brady's kit won't mind the higher price tag.
Because it's coming from Tom Brady, that has a $100 pair of pajamas.
He's got a loyal customer base. He put out a $200 nutritional manual and $50 snack packs last year, and they sold out in record time online. Hold on a second. This is from a CNBC article. Now, here's what I want to know. It sold out in record time.
Anyone else ever done it?
And are those records kept? Is it like, of all the $200 nutritional manuals ever, Tom Brady sold out faster?
Who wrote that for CNBC?
Shilly McShiller Pants?
Seriously. That's just direct from the... that's got Darren Revelle's... I know he doesn't work for them anymore, but that's got his finger...
Darren Revelle tweeted the article I linked.
Right. You're kidding.
Yeah. His fingerprints all over it. Like, it's less of an article so much as it's a press release.
2% of the U.S. population is vegan. 2% is vegetarian. While 85% has no diet restriction for meat whatsoever. So Purple Carrot and Tom Brady. Tell you what, if Tom Brady, you're talking about Vince Young. Tom Brady wants to make this thing a slam dunk, and I guess it will be anyways. But they should add to this, and random Purple Carrot orders will have, like, a signed Tom Brady football card in it. And,
there you go.
And all of Massachusetts would just order like the wind. I don't know. More insufferable to you, Nate, because I know you think everything's insufferable, right? Which is more insufferable? You have to spend a month on a deserted island with A, Tom Brady, B, Tim Tebow.
Oh, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is more insufferable than Tim Tebow?
No, I'm sorry. No,
he'd choose Tom Brady.
I would choose Tom Brady.
You would choose Tom Brady. Why? I'm just curious.
Because I don't feel like...
Because he already eats sand, so he'd be able to prepare meals for them?
Right? I don't know. Nate, what? You're blanking, aren't you?
No, I mean, I know why.
Like, you just don't want to say it.
Feel like Tom Brady's going to be preaching at me after about 24 hours.
Yeah, that's a good point right there.
I think he's going to have, like, more logical and tangible ways to stay alive.
Well, sure. Yeah. I can see that from your point of view, because when it comes to Tom Brady, he generally keeps his thought process to himself. And the thought processes that he makes public, I don't think you disagree with any of them.
And Tom Brady likes to play catch with people. And Nate has gone out and said it multiple times, Dave. He just wants to play catch with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm. Louis, you're on KHDK.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Louis.
I'm a lifelong Patriot fan, but I do think it's funny that all those people buying his performance stuff and health stuff are pizza eating, beer drinking people like me.
If it was Tom Brady pizza, we'd be okay. When we get back, we will talk to Scott Bear at 7:40 about the Raiders situation, their new financing. But before that, I'll tell you what Andrew Bogut got paid per hour for working for the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll take a break. It's Dave, Katie, and Nate on the drive. Right back in 3 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK. Comcast Scott Bear will join us in about 5 minutes to talk about the Raiders and this financing with Bank of America. So we'll get into that. It's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Katie in San Antonio.
I'm in Denver.
Oh, you're still in Denver?
Yeah.
Oh, when do you go? You guys fly out later today?
Yeah, we leave this afternoon.
You're going. Oh. Let's play. Go ahead, Nate.
No, that was a surprise. I thought you're in San Antonio.
That's
funny
because
you said
Antonio
it at the
too.
Top of the show that I was in Denver. Yeah,
I did. Let's play a game real quick of how well does Katie No, Dave, you're going to San Antonio later today.
Ah, I've already thought about it.
What question am I about to ask you?
Are you going to go get the puffy tacos?
Are you going to go get the puffy taco? Survey says that is a screwed up soundboard, and I was supposed to be the family ties ding or the family feud ding. Yeah, it's absolutely correct. Are you going to go? And that's not a euphemism. Euphemism, you sickos.
It's right there by the border. Just hop across and get you a puffy taco.
For those of you who are familiar with San Antonio and their food, that is a real thing. Will you be getting puffy tacos this evening?
I don't know if I'll do it this evening, but I may do it for a lunch option mañana.
But you have a game tomorrow evening, correct?
Yes.
Let me just tell you, I would recommend it for dinner tonight when you have a full night and day before you have to do your game.
What did it do to you?
Well, I'm just saying there's a high, it's a target rich environment, and it could, it's the type of food that could cause potential issues hours later. Probably not.
Really? I've never had that kind of thing.
Mm, well then.
With tacos?
Always. Yeah. Well, with tacos. I mean.
That's a Ty Lawson problem, not a Katie Christensen problem.
You just don't want to see Katie Christensen out with gastroenteritis.
I know, right?
Katie's questionable for tomorrow night's game. Andrew Bogut's regular season is, I'm sure, over with the broken leg he suffered yesterday after playing 58 seconds for the Cleveland Cavaliers. That is his entire Cleveland career thus far. At 58 seconds, Bogut's salary and tax bill would be the equivalent of nearly $38 million per hour.
What?
Whoa.
$38 million. If you factor in what he's going to get paid
for that 1 minute of work,
$38 million an hour.
Pretty good.
That's Katie Christensen money.
What did he sign? Yeah, right.
It used to be tall.
Yeah, it does. I have no idea what he signed for. But
that's crazy.
When you factor it out, hey now, $38 million an hour, it's not bad work. And I'll tell you right now, not for nothing, I would have been just as effective as Andrew Bogut in 58 seconds
of
play. Yeah,
exactly. In fact, I would be willing to say that you wouldn't have shattered your tibia.
You know what? Don't know. Don't know if that's the case.
I actually wouldn't feel comfortable saying that.
I wouldn't either.
Like, if it was me in that situation, I would have shattered more than my tibia,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, but you're a flight of frame. Dave is built like a brick, you know, poop house.
Yeah,
but
I'm
like
tough,
to say
Katie. I got
country.
Heart. I'm scrappy.
I know you do. I know you do, absolutely.
toothpick legs of yours. This August, there will be a baseball game played between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, I know it's cold outside, but guess what? This Sunday, we spring forward. We're already there. Summer is a-coming, and it's going to be a hot and filled with mosquito summer because of all the rain.
All the rain, yeah.
But by August, everything should be dried out. We're in the dog days of summer, and it's one of my favorite times to watch baseball on a Sunday evening. You throw the game on. Maybe you pull a radio outside, whatever you're doing. Glass of something in your hand. Barbecue a-going. And how about this? The Pirates and the Cardinals will play a game in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, at the site of the Little League World Series. I think that's awesome. I don't know how many people it seats.
Seems kind of dangerous having a major leaguer throw from a 45-foot mound.
I now know how many it seats after doing some research, how many people it seats. It's 4,500 fans. So for the Pirates, it'll seem like a home game.
You're horrible.
And how about that? You know, you saw the Braves and Marlins play at Fort Bragg last summer. With that was actually 12,500 fans. That was really, really cool. But I enjoy aspects of the Little League World Series. I do. And I think when you're going, like, all baseball and America and all that, like, that's going to be a pretty cool scene. Your thoughts?
Baseball is fun.
All right, and then finally, before we get to Scott, if any of you wanted to feel stupid, listen up, because here's an opportunity for you to feel absolutely stupid. The Scripps National Spelling Bee. Do you know this story?
I don't, but okay. I know I can barely spell normal everyday words.
Okay, well, there's a speller that qualified for the National Bee, okay? She clinched her berth. You know it's tough to spell something when you can't say it. She clinched her Spelling Bee berth by correctly spelling Janana, J-N-A-N-A, no idea. She also correctly spelled colloquial.
Oh, can you do? Oh, well, you've got it right in front of
what?
You. For mine.
Can I do what?
I was like, colloquial is a good one. Can you spell it?
C-O-L-L-O-Q-U-I-A-L. Hey,
Dave,
buddy.
No, Dave is
former
a spelling.
Tries, no, I know. Spelling
that,
champ.
That's why I was asking you. It was a tough one, but then I realized you were literally reading
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, but he would have been able to do it anyway.
Oh, Dory.
Shut up, Katie. You spell it.
I can't. I have a hard time spelling my name.
Sevruga. So does everybody.
Obviously.
Sevruga. What the hell is Sevruga?
Okay. It sounds like something like in the Turnip family.
And that was a Raffi song. Oh, baby Sevruga in the deep.
You're an idiot. So this person, her name is, this person beat out 50 other competitors for the Green Country Regional Spelling Bee title. She will now go to the National Spelling Bee beginning May 28th. I believe that's still in Washington, D.C. So that's a neat story. Her name is Edith Fuller.
And she's 75 years old.
Wouldn't you think? You're close, but minus exactly 70 years.
She's what?
Atta girl.
She's 5 years old.
No, she's actually Benjamin Button. She is not five.
Okay.
She's five. She qualified for the National Bee at five.
Oh, my God.
I didn't qualify for big boy underpants at five.
Of course not.
And she's spelling hard words.
Edith.
Much like our next guest who writes and does all kinds of fun stuff is the Raiders insider for CSNCalifornia.com. Joining us right now, Scott Bear. Scott, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks for getting up this early. How are you?
I'm doing fine as long as this doesn't turn into a spelling bee. I don't think I'd last.
All right.
God bless Microsoft Word spell checker.
Exactly.
For a long time.
Exactly. And that's the thing. Think about this. She's five. I have two children, 9 and 8 years old, and they're okay. But but not like 5 years old. I don't know if you remember what you were doing, Scott. You seem like a nice, young, strapping guy. But 5 years old, she made the National Bee.
Yeah, I think I was trying to get Autobots to go from their robot to probably nothing else.
Well, great segue. Speaking of transforming.
Hey. Oh, wow.
Yeah, you're like, hey, how you doing? Give myself a ding right there. Mark Davis, Al Davis's son, who now owns the Raiders, has seemingly brought his Las Vegas move from the brinks of destruction when both Sheldon Adelson and Goldman Sachs pulled out of the deal. And now it was revealed yesterday that the mysterious financier is Bank of America. So give us the layout here. How solid is that, do you think? And how much does that improve the Raiders' chances of playing in Las Vegas in a few years?
I would say that it definitely improves it dramatically. Bank of America does a lot of business with the NFL. The NFL likes people that it knows well. There won't be a lot of vetting or anything like that. Just think about all those ATM service fees that you guys, walked into and your PIN code. You're paying for a Vegas stadium now. So there are a lot of details that we don't know, considering how much debt service the Raiders are going to have to take on. I think what this means and the fact that they got a real name financial institution to back it is, I think, a big deal. And I think the reason why it was attractive after Goldman Sachs pulled out was because there was already $1.2 billion sitting there on the table in the first place. And most of it comes from public subsidy. It comes from an NFL loan that's part of the Raiders' $500 million. The Raiders are also going to generate things from PSLs and things like that. So this is basically just kind of crossing the finish line. And I have heard that while it's a $1.9 billion project, it may not actually cost that much. So for all those reasons, I think it made it attractive for a bank to come in, get the Raiders to commit. And again, I think the most interesting thing is how much debt are the Raiders going to have to take on, especially when it comes to the relocation fee and everything that it comes to financing it. And if they aren't taking on a bunch of debt, what are they giving up? Because nothing is free.
Scott, this whole thing, I mean, if you go back several months, it seemed like, yes, it is a foregone conclusion that the Raiders will be relocating to Las Vegas. But now that they're on their third financer and just with everything going on in Oakland, I can't figure out if this is actually something that still has a high probability of happening, or if it's just a bunch of talking heads at this point. What is going on in terms of the mayor's office and Libby Schaff? And is it a legit effort to keep the Raiders in Oakland from their side?
She made a presentation to the NFL Stadium and Finance Committees yesterday in Florida. So did Mark Davis and the Raiders contingent. That's how we found out that B of A was involved. And from what I've heard, Libby Schaff's presentation didn't answer a lot of questions that the NFL had regarding their particular stadium proposal, which involves a company led by Ronnie Lott called Fortress Investments, which is, it's a long story, but was bought out by somebody else. Anyway, they still have a lot of issues there. And I think when it comes down to a basic comparison, the NFL and I guess sports teams in general really like to take your money. They like free money from other people, and Oakland ain't given much of that. And I don't know how much I blame them, to be honest with you. So you have all that. They also don't like third-party investors getting their hands on development deals and making money on surrounding investments and having too much control, and that's sort of what Fortress Investments wants. And I think for all those types of things that we're talking about, the real issue here, Mark Davis has put blinders on to this deal. He doesn't want to deal with it or have major discussions about it. And he's going to try to get this thing done without giving up. Well, he'll never give up controlling interest of his team, but he's going to try to get out of this thing having not having to give up any percentage or at least a large percentage of the Raiders franchise. And if Vegas continues to go on like this, he may as well actually realize that dream that seems so impossible considering how cash poor he is in terms of being able to build his own stadium, kind of like what Stan Kroenke is doing in Inglewood.
Scott Baer joining us on KHTK. Scott, is there anything that could happen that would maybe change the tune of Libby Schaff and the city of Oakland? And is there any way that this that something could get done in Oakland without the benefit of public financing? Because, I mean, I'm with you. I think they're kind of doing the right thing. Like, hey, we're not going to give you our money, but it sounds like the NFL is just not interested in that.
Yeah, I think what would definitely help them is if tomorrow there was a big ceremony at Jack London Square and the Oakland A's were like, hey, on this date, we're no longer on the Coliseum site. See you later, y'all. Because then that takes away a lot of confusion about what the A's are doing. Then the city and county know exactly, all right, this is the amount of land that we have. We don't have to allocate for a ballpark. We don't have to worry about the A's who, man, they really want those 81 home dates per year. So I think that would alleviate some confusion. And then maybe, just maybe, they would take a look at that Coliseum site land and say, all right, the Warriors are going west. And the A's are going to the water. So now we can give you some of this land or sell it to you at a reasonable rate, which is, Mark Davis has always said that the issue there was land. He was promised it at a certain rate or free so he could develop on it. And then that kind of switched with the new administration. Man, the stuff is complicated and has been going on for so long. But I do think that would help them right now. They're not in a position to compete with what Las Vegas has going. And again, at 750 followed by six zeros, that really holds a lot of weight. And I don't think NFL owners are going to pass up on something like that.
CSN California's Raider insider Scott Baer joining us on The Drive. So we go to later this month, last week of March, NFL meetings in Phoenix. I know it's an impossible question, but what's your gut feeling? Do you think there's a decision made there? You think they put it off till May? How do you think the meetings turn out after this development?
Well, I can tell you that the Raiders want a vote in March. They want it done. They want to be able to start, you know, plans for construction or solidifying a site and really moving forward as quickly as possible in that regard. So they want it in late March. Some people are saying, hey, it could be ready in that amount of time, which, to me, had you gone back to, I don't know, Sunday, I would have said that's insane because there's too much, there are too many line items that the league would want to comb through after losing financing just a couple weeks back and with it being so close to March. But I think maybe because it's Bank of America, because they're a trusted, vetted, you know, a financial institution. And we're going to have to see, I think Thursday is a Las Vegas Stadium Authority meeting where which is public, and maybe we'll get more details about a possible lease proposal or amendments to the old Raiders financing plan, and we'll know how similar it is. The reason why I say all that is if all those things kind of if all those ducks line up in a row, then maybe they could vote, if not May. But I think the city of Oakland and Alameda County and Raiders fans here and out there in Sacramento, they just want a stay of execution. One more year and we'll try to figure something else out as opposed to it coming right down to the wire here. Finding nine votes might be tough.
Scott, Sheldon Adelson was behind this from the beginning. Then obviously things went awry, but he is reportedly still trying to lure another team to Vegas. So how much should the Raiders at this point be concerned about him kind of working behind the scenes to mess this whole thing up?
Well, just from what I've read about the man, that he's a tough negotiator. He'll pull out, and if he doesn't like something, he'll go ahead and poison the well. Or in survivor parlance, he'll take all the rice and throw it in the ocean. So, what I think is the issue there is that whether he kind of steps aside, and I've read some things that says he will. So that will be an interesting thing moving forward. I think ultimately maybe for a guy that's invested so much in Las Vegas, even if it's not his legacy project, I think maybe it would be a bad legacy. He'd be notorious for keeping an NFL franchise out when they were so close to having one. But that will be something interesting to follow in the coming weeks and months.
You can read Scott at csncalifornia.com, their Raiders insider. Not the best speller in the world, but that's what autocorrect for. I mean, we figured that out early on, Scott.
You know this.
Appreciate your time as always, buddy. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Scott.
That is Scott Bear. A lot of interesting info right there, honestly, because you wonder if this thing is going to – I get the feeling they're going to table it. They're going to table
right.
it until May.
Doesn't it just yeah. feel – and maybe part of it's just the denial of wanting to believe that this is really real, but doesn't it feel like a lot of this is public negotiation?
I think so.
Like it's not real?
Yeah.
A lot of posturing going on?
I think –
I mean, Bank of America.
Well, the other thing is this. You got $750 million in public money. You have Bank of America, a giant conglomerate, willing to come on and finance a huge portion of this. And those tax revenues are going to start. There are taxes that are now going to start being levied
yeah.
by Las Vegas. The wheel is already going. So on the other hand, maybe the owners are going to look at this and go, wow, this is one of the most charitable deals you could possibly imagine to give us our stadium welfare. We need to take this thing right now and set a precedent before it goes away. So I could see, on the other hand, that being the push for the NFL to make a decision as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Is it at all weird for you guys that, you know, Scott said, you know, they want it to get done so that they can move forward with things like finding a site and starting to work on just the plans to build this? And maybe it's because we're coming off of the thing with the Kings and even the MLS in Sacramento. They already have all that in place. They have that planned out and in place before they even present it to the league. So how kind of weird is it, do you think, that they don't even have that part of things figured out and they've been going back and forth and trying to get financers?
I think they have the site pretty much zeroed around. It's land that UNLV owns. And I know they're looking at a couple of different spots. But, yeah, there's a lot of spinning plates right now here for Mark Davis and for the rest of the Raiders team. You're also talking about a franchise that has never had to build a stadium. They've been involved in moves before, but always with stadiums in place or built or shared. So this will be a very interesting thing to watch. From the text line, 441140, I read these only because they're two texts in a row from two completely different phone numbers to completely different people. The first one from the 530 is Mark Davis, a real-life Tommy Callahan. That's referencing Chris Farley's character,
yeah.
Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy.
The very next text is Sheldon Anderson, the real-life Mr. Burns. So we've got a Tommy Boy reference, a Simpsons reference. There you go. When we get back, Michael Duarte, he does sports for NBC LA. He's going to give us an update on this strange story out of Laker land. And we don't like talking about the Lakers on this show, but anytime there's strife and mayhem and a possible
yeah.
coup, we're all for it. And also, a big win for CBS and the fight sports on Saturday. We'll tell you how that happened. And also, Kawhi Leonard had a great night last night, but it didn't end well. It didn't end well. It was a little interesting what happened after the game. We'll explain to you what happened with Kawhi and the San Antonio Spurs. That's back in 3 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.